Here in Strobel House, I'm having today with me Kandra Karnholm. Welcome, Kandra.
Thank you.
Really happy that you decided so spontaneously to join us and come to share a little bit about yourself and about Engsbacka, your work, and hopefully also some practical exercises or meditations later on. These interviews have this very open, allowing form when we are not preparing anything, not really talking through anything. We are just trusting that the things will lead us to the topic will lead itself. But anyway, some clues and some points of interest I already have. And I would love to start by, because your background is so rich and you are engaged in many projects and you have been doing throughout the years so many amazing things together with Mikkel and also on your own working path. But as we are here in Engsbacka, in Strobel House, can you give us a little bit sneak peek and a background? How did it all started for you and when?
Wow, yeah, thank you. And thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to, always happy to return to Engsbacka. And I've been coming for many, many years. The first time I ever heard of Engsbacka was when a boyfriend of mine, I was studying in Italy for a year and I was really excited to come home and see him. And then he was like, yeah, but when you come home, I'll be at Engsbacka. There's this new festival going on. And I was like, what is that? What is it that is so important? And my mother actually comes from this place. So my Swedish mother, she lives in Molkom. So it was just so funny that I came back from Italy with her and he was here. And that's how I came to know about the festival. So that was in 97. So that was the second festival there ever was.
Okay.
I think.
That was 24 years ago.
Yeah.
But amazing.
Yeah.
Have you been coming then since then?
Yeah, so then it took me a few years and then I also became increasingly interested in spirituality and personal development. And my brother he did a trade with Lasse, who was one of the owners here. And he traded these carpets that he had, my brother, for festival tickets. And this was maybe 2000 or something like that. So then he gave me a ticket and I came. That was the first time. And the year after, no, that was 2001. And then the year after, I was a volunteer group leader for the dishwashing team.
Wow.
And that's when, that's also when I met Michael, who was one of the co-owners. And we fell in love. Like the last day of the festival when everyone was leaving, packing up, going home. We met on the stairs of the cafe, like so many others. I think he had been staying here partially before, but we lived in Stockholm, and that was towards the end of this co-owner time for him. But still, it was. I feel I got to know a lot about Engsbacka, and I also worked in the kitchen sometimes and with friends, and I did, of course, workshops here, like participating, and also in time, I also came to offer my own workshops here. Mm. So it's been a long, long story, and I really thought about it when I was driving here this time, like all these different memories and relationships, and it's so special with a time, like a place where something has been unfolding and going on for such a long time, going through different phases, just like all of us do. Engsbacka also does that, and it's something more than us. But it's amazing that it has survived and continues to blossom, and people come for a time and they contribute, and some people come again and again and again, and some people come for the first time. I think it's such a special thing. And I've had so many beautiful moments here, and like in the big In the No Mind festival, obviously, but also in the women's festival, like the Sacred Womb festival we had, and yeah. so many, many times.
Yeah, I can imagine the, all the flavors being attracted to this energy vortex here that is very much a result of people who are coming. So there is no such thing like one Nengspaka, even if there is stated vision, but it's so allowing and open. So it reflects very much what's happening here. But let me stay a little bit in the years when you started to coming. Mm-hmm. What were the workshops that you got hooked on? Did you discover your special interest, or like this here I feel the calling, I want to go deeper with this work, or was maybe several and then some they transformed? Like, because now I would like to move a little bit how that Nengspaka reflected on your career work choices, like, and how much the inspiration is it's from here actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's sort of intertwined. Nengspaka and Michael's path with Nengspaka and mine. It sort of all became a bit mixed because he was already very involved, he was also part of bringing, like choosing the people to come and teach here. So in some way, we created this company Spread the Word together. Spreading the word that contributes to vital inner change and empowerment, which was a way of sort of bringing the spirit of Nengspaka to a larger context, also outside of this place. Yeah, so, but what did I get? What was I drawn to in the beginning? It was a little bit like, of course, what did I get in the beginning? I more have the memory like we brought people here. We brought Chantimai here, Byron Katie, and of course I met Svagito here. He's still one of my main teachers, very important. And he's been coming for many, many years. And Mira, his beloved, was also here teaching creativity and painting. And yeah, so, and I did also the Balanced View here once when I was... just had become a mother recently, then I did that retreat here. Yeah, so many. But I think the most important teachers for me have been Chantimai and Byron Katie and Svagito. And it's quite amazing that they have all been here, actually. They've all offered their teachings here.
Wonderful. Because I know that through Spread the Word, you and Michael, you have direct contact with spiritual teachers and guides and masters who are considered being like the teachers in our times. Can you give a little bit of your direct experience of because there are still people with personalities and. What is the impact they have on you, and then meeting them? Because there is a difference if we take in someone's teaching in any form, and when we are kind of practically relating with them about arranging something, and then friendship is being born.
I absolutely see what you mean, and. At the same time, I want to say, at least with these three teachers that I heard, I feel they are actually very much the same. They are very much the same, whether they are teaching or whether they're in the kitchen fixing breakfast or traveling somewhere, or catching a plane. That's my experience from these people.
Okay, I was after some kind of, you know, like, anecdote or something.
Okay, let's see what... I mean, I think, but that's one of the main things. I think that's why I'm also, I have so much respect and love for them, that I feel there's always been a very simplicity to our meeting. And I don't think that's exclusive for me. I don't think, oh, I'm so special and that's why it's like that. But also, I mean, I remember meeting Chantimai in the desert I went to the desert with her in Sinai. That was like in the beginning, 2001 or something like that. And she was then, there was this big decorum, you know, like with satsang. And it was back in the days when satsang was kind of the thing, I think, also at Engspakka. It was like enlightenment and it looks a certain way. And there's like gurus and lineages and all this. And that can be, it can be confusing for people because we tend to project a lot of things and get a little, and it can stir a lot of uncertainty, like all our insecurities come up and our competition and all our primal things that we haven't processed yet, of course, come up then. But I remember meeting her in the desert and it was all so simple. We were just people and we slept in the sand and there was the moon and the stars and there was not, I could see like how it really is like that actually all the time. So not to be conceived by these, the stories that we can weave sometimes of thinking, oh, she's greater than me or he's greater. And at the same time, of course, we can recognize a person's and appreciate a person's depth of wisdom and experience and long time exploration. So that's what I feel with these people. Like I was speaking with Svegito now, we were having lunch and also Michael, all these guys who've been practicing for so long and in very different times than these times. I mean, I've been practicing a long time already. I'm like getting gray hair and I'm realizing I'm not one of the youngest here anymore. I'm like actually not that anymore. But anyway, those who are sort of the old guys for me, to hear their stories and realize what they... Yeah, man, it was so different. We have so much now, like therapy, for instance. Like Svegito, he's a therapist and... He was sharing some time about some of the groups they did back in the days, kind of wild and outrageous things. And of course, he is what he is today because he did that then. He learned a lot of things then, which made him and gave him the experience that makes him now able to do this. But he also said, yeah, you know, of course, these methods that we used then, they were not so refined, but... That was what we had then. We didn't have all this other stuff then. And that was kind of an eye-opener for me. I was like, of course, it's true. Some of the things we have now, like trauma healing, like SE work, all these things, for instance, that's becoming very popular and I think for a good reason. It's very important knowledge to have. But it's not so long that it's been around, at least not as sort of common knowledge. So I don't know how I ended up there in this conversation, but yeah, so I think it's a lot. I think for me, the great teachers are the ones who know really from a deep place that they are ordinary. And I think those are the teachers to look for. Those are the teachers to sit with. I think for me it's an important thing. I think, I mean, of course, it doesn't have to be like a big, like a marriage kind of thing. I mean, of course, you can open, you can be inspired by something, but I think it's good to be a bit choosy. That's my personal experience, or like my
preference.
I think it's good to really choose who you spend time with, who you want to learn from, and listen to yourself, because that's the only one who can find out. That's the only one who can know. Like, where is my heart truly drawn? Is this person someone that I feel respect for? And not just because of what they say when they're on stage, but how they live their life, how they relate to people, how they... I've learned so much, like, from Svegito, just... Not so, I mean, of course, a lot from his teachings and his trainings, but also just from the way he is with people. I don't think he thinks about that at all. I think it's just like this meditative state that's possible and available. And of course, we all can have that. I'm not saying he's the only one. But for me, to see him just, like, for instance, when someone comes and wants something from us, oftentimes we just either do it right away or we sort of say no. But with him, I've seen and learned, like, just wait.
Staying constant.
Just wait a little bit. Don't go with the first thing. Wait. And then you choose whether to say yes or no or maybe or later. That little gap that I speak about a lot when I teach mindfulness.
Mind the gap.
Yes. But with him, I've seen it in action. I've seen it like in so many times over the years and in different contexts. Like that's how it's lived. That's how it's, that's how it makes a big difference. So I've come to know that in myself also.
Isn't it like that when you meet someone who really embody and living the practice, not preaching
yes.
dry words, but time and again serve you as a reminder, and you get, then it's awakening. Then they are serving you with the drop. And it's not by an effort from their side. This is just the way they are. Mm-hmm. From this perspective, I really can relate to what you say. It's a very, very beautiful and rare quality. Hopefully more and more people will be able to access that, and we can serve one another to create like an energetic ripple for that. Mm. So it is very important that we invite here to Engsbacka people who can hold this state and still they are available. I love what you said, that you choose the ordinary teachers. And the ordinary becomes like the big yes, the most beautiful. This is human experience. And what you just said about that there is a process ongoing and new developments and the science of, let's say, somatic experiencing and trauma healing and neuroscience going hand in hand with that, which reaffirm what the masters for thousands of years in practicing in different traditions were saying, but maybe in a different language, or so that now the two meets, and that it's more digestible for the Western mind. It's not a novelty anymore of like, I'm going to India to have my experience, or I'm going to do this or that in terms of a hype. I wanted to ask you what you are choosing in your interests. Because now we know Svagito is an important teacher and Shanti Mai. But scientifically, what are you working with? What are you offering to people when you take all this beautiful knowledge and you want to share it?
Well, I have different works. So one work that I sort of mentioned a little bit already is my work as an organizer and spread the word. So that's when I bring these wonderful teachings and teachers to other people. And then I also offer my own work to people. And I guess that's what you're asking about. And that's mostly mindfulness. And I mean, it's so different, difficult to, I don't have like a specific, oh, this is what I do. But I do individual sessions. I have an online program that runs over a year. That's called A Year to Grow, which is also sort of open in the sense we bring presence, we cultivate presence and love. I think those are the most important things when it comes to personal growth. It's awareness and love. And both are required. Svagit was just saying this in the morning meeting. And that's also what I do in a way. That's my own journey for myself. And that's also what I do with people. I invite them into an exploration of some sort. Either a one-to-one inquiry where we look at some topic that's up for them right now in their life, some difficulty they're struggling with. Or like in the online program, it's more of a group thing where we also follow the different seasons and look at different areas of our lives. And it's about, what do I want to cultivate? What do I want to sort of like as the year goes on through the different seasons, what do I want to, yeah, cultivate and grow and how to do that? And it's not like I can give anyone an answer. It's not like I can give them, oh yeah, and then you do this, then da, 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 da. But it's more supporting their own process and their own finding out. And of course, sometimes I can mirror them, or like I can ask questions and we can find things. And I've also learned, I mean, I've had a lot of use from the method, if we're talking methods, family constellation work and the work of Byron Katie, and somatic experiencing also. So all that's sort of interwoven into my work, but I use it sort of, it's kind of fluent, like I pick whatever fits in the moment.
It sounds very rich.
Yes.
And free.
Yes. I'm not so good at yet. I'm trying to. I have this idea still that I should be able to put it into something neat and tidy and say, this is what I do. But I see myself a bit as a doula of transformation. So like when you're giving birth, you're giving birth. You're the one who's birthing your baby. And that's something that happens to you and through you. And it will happen, whether you're alone or whether you're with someone. But a doula can still help. She can be there present with you as you go through this process. She can maybe transmit some calm. She can give her experience, bring her experience. She can look, okay, now you need to sort of push. Now you need to relax. Now sort of guide the process a bit, but still knowing that she's like a tiny grain of sand in that whole field. It's not like she's doing very much, but still being there with her heart and her presence and just her love, it still can make it a little bit easier for the person who's going through the process of birth. So I see myself a bit like that.
Oh, I love this expression, doula of transformation. Mm. Yeah, and as a doula, you get to see many births, but each one is giving, this is my birth, so I'm an expert on me.
Yes.
It's empowering practice and honoring for both. It's very beautiful.
And it's always like, it's such a privilege to witness someone going through a process. And even if, I mean, a birth is a big, big event. I've been present at a friend's birth, and that was, I mean, I felt so honored. And of course, it's like, maybe doesn't feel the same way with every little topic we bring, but still, I really feel honored. And I think it's a privilege to just be with someone as that person is processing something, going through something. And when this shift happens, just a shift in consciousness where you, when you gain an insight and something falls away, something old is just over and done with because you've seen something deeply. And when that happens to someone, and we can resonate with that when we're there. So in a group, I think we can learn a lot from each other's and each other's processes. We benefit because of the breakthroughs or the insights that people have also around us. And in constellation work, we participate in each other's constellations. We are there as representatives. We can get so much from just participating in someone else's question and the answers that one finds.
Yeah, I would call it the borrowed benefit. Mm-hmm. When you're aligning something within yourself, something is also happening in me when I witness that. Because then the story doesn't really matter. The story should be honored, and that's the safe room. But because in family constellation, story is not that important. We just like, I noticed that in work, at least how Svagita works, he takes in only like the most relevant facts.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And whenever people would like to, they get cut off. not to get entangled maybe in the story, and it brings back to the experience and the feeling and the body. But I wanted to ask you, there are so many different flavors how to do it, how you are bringing awareness, how are you dealing with this, because there are like Svagita has his own way, and different people working with constellation and systematic work have their way. What is Kandra's way?
Yeah, see, maybe that I'm not the right person to ask that. Maybe you have to ask someone else who's been to my courses, because I think in a way, maybe that's why it's difficult to speak of one's own work also, because when I'm working with people, it's like I'm very present and open, and I'm there, of course, very much there. But at the same time, I don't have so much of an agenda. I'm more responding to what I perceive in the moment. A lot of us do this, like the Zen coaching and the different, I think it's a common thing and a good skill to have that many modalities use. But yeah, and maybe it's also that it will take some more time. Maybe that will turn into some sort of more concrete, more recognizable thing. But for me right now, where I am, I really feel like I'm a river of exploration, like bringing these qualities of presence and love to each moment, to each meeting, to each course. Of course, when I offer a course, I say something about what it will be about. We have to do that to find the people who want to do the work with me. But at the same time, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not so good about speaking about it yet. Yeah, I don't know, maybe it will change. Maybe like when I'm 60 or 70 or something, maybe by then it will look differently. But here I am, I'm 44, I'm learning, and it's beautiful. And I think that's a really beautiful thing also, when it's not such a fixed thing, when it's more like, we're just living our lives. And then we meet and we sometimes gather in a group and we explore something together and then we move out of that. So there's not so much this identity like, oh, I'm the course leader and I'm going to teach you my method. I'm not there yet anyway. I don't know if I'll be interested in that. But I'm more like this, yeah, just a friend. And of course I have experience by now, because this has been my interest and the calling of my heart that I've followed and been lucky enough to follow for so many years, thanks to life and thanks to Michael and everything that brought us together, and thanks to this place. I've just been so fortunate to meet all these wonderful deep teachers and teachings, and I've had the privilege of practicing on my own. So then, you know, it also becomes something, but it's moment to moment that changes also.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. It points to this very allowing attitude, when acknowledging myself, I'm in the growing, and maybe that's the whole point, that it's going to be like that, that we never actually arrive to something like, now I am this meditation teacher or whatever teacher identity or therapist identity we would like to assume. And that is very inspiring, because if learning by doing and showing the example to people who you meet, it kind of has this, I'm sitting here with you and I have the direct experience of that, of humility and joy and gratitude. It was very beautiful to witness. Could you now tell me a little bit, how does that support you from the perspective of being creative in life, this open attitude?
Well, of course, creativity and openness are very connected. For me, creativity is, it's a lot about like being open to something beyond your usual way of thinking or way of being. It's like when you're inspired, it's like, you know, the spark, it's something more. And for that, for you to be, or for me to be aware of that, I have to be present and open. And I have to be willing also to let go of methods. And so if you want to innovate, like innovation is so important, but to create something new, you have to let go of the old. You have to sort of leave what you know out the door and explore freshly again. So openness is intrinsic. It's like so connected to creativity.
And how are you practicing this beginner's mind attitude? What are you doing to freshen up, to let go of the...
Yeah, it can be different things in a day. It can be... sometimes it's just like in a conversation when I notice I'm being a bit stubborn, I'm holding on to something, a certain point of view. When I notice that, maybe a certain tension in the body or just my words or how my voice gets, then I can consciously sort of like, okay, and what if I just drop it and just open? Like, not to say this has to go away, but more to open all around it and to be conscious about more, because there's always more. So sometimes it's more like I remind myself, oh, okay, what else is here? But sometimes it can be like to stand up and shake the body for a moment, or to do new things, to try new things that I never did before. Could be anything. Could be a craft or a sport or a new language, or me talking to a stranger, or could be anything.
You mentioned about the program, the A Year to Grow,
mm-hmm.
Which is happening online.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to hear a little bit, what is your take on bringing awareness work this way? What is the experience? What are the pitfalls and what are the hopes? And how is it unfolding? You said it's very open and kind of new.
Yeah, you mean the online program, like, yes. Yeah.
Generally taking in spirituality, mm-hmm. and consciousness work online.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, there's some things we can't do online, like group exercises where you can do breakout rooms, which I do a lot of my groups, that like you have a conversation with someone, but you can't move together and do all these things. So there are limitations to it, obviously, but there are also benefits. I really like, and I've done a lot over this last year and a half, Zoom meetings. I love that you can just connect from home right where you're at. You just bring out your computer and bam, there you are with all these friends and this circle and this great teacher maybe or whatever. And that I think is really good, because then it's like, it's so close. You're right there in your own home, in your own setting, where your life is. So it's not like, oh, I go away on a retreat somewhere remotely, or I go to beautiful Engsbacka and I have sort of like my separate little universe there. It's like, no, I'm doing it from home where my life is. So I like that. And of course, we are a group now of 35 people, and I can't interact with everyone individually. I can't have everyone share with me what they do. I can't listen. That's the thing. I can't, like when people do an exercise in the breakout rooms, I can't hear them. So I don't know so much what's going on. So I have to ask them afterwards, or they have to write in the chat and so. So that's a little bit. And sometimes, of course, people are, they're not carried in the same way by a field. Like when we're together in a room or in a group, then there is a certain field that we create together energetically. It is there online as well, but it's more tangible when we're in a room together and when there's a structure, when you have meals together and all this. So for new people, it may be more difficult to get out of the mind and into embodied practice and experience. And I find as a teacher, maybe it's because I'm not so experienced, but it's more difficult to help people to move from the head to their heart or to somewhere else, especially when I'm addressing the whole group and not just one person. Mm. Was that an answer to
yes,
your question?
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Kendra, would you like to share a practice with people who are watching us to help us to come back from the mind down to the body and direct experience?
Great. Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. And we're going to finish with that. So we were already from this moment, I wanted to thank you for watching us. And thank you, Kendra, for coming. My great, great pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And you will let me know when it's time to end, right? So I don't go over. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can just take a breath, maybe a deeper breath, and close your eyes if you want. And feel the movement of the breath in your body. Just easy. Like waves on a seashore, rolling in and out. Notice how that breath is actually not anything you have to do, but something that happens to you. You can just be here and allow the breath to move in and out. You can feel the rest of your body, your neck and shoulders, your head, your face. Maybe there's some place where you can relax a bit more. Just exhaling, letting go. Let go in your arms and your hands. In your chest, and belly. Feeling maybe how the relaxation and letting go makes you more connected to what you're sitting on. So it gives you this groundedness and more contact with the surface beneath you on the earth. And you can feel your legs. And feet on the floor, maybe. Your seat, pelvis, and your back. And then just feel your whole body. Being breathed. You can let your attention really come to yourself and feel what that does to you when you are here for you. Just with your attention, you're allowing, you're accepting. It's like you're turning to yourself, appreciating yourself, acknowledging you are here. And there's nothing you need to do right now. You're allowed to be exactly as you are. Who can give you that allowance? You can. You are. You are here with you. Just feel your heart for a few breaths. Receive yourself in your heart. And feel how your heart is naturally emanating, overflowing, peaceful presence. Nothing you need to do, actually. It's just a matter of noticing. So as the breath is going on, you're just here with your heart, your body, and your presence. And you can be nourished by this. Without really doing much. And this is medicine for the world. So you can let this loving energy of your heart, which is so natural and simple, humble, undramatic, and just let it spread like a light or fragrance. Just feel it surrounding you as you're being breathed and just sitting here. Allow your heartful presence to emanate from you. Maybe there is someone or some situation that you want to bring this loving attention to. You can just imagine or invite that person or that situation to be before you in your meditation. And inwardly, you just say yes and let your heart shine like it does. Not forcing, just like the sun shining. And you can also receive, be receptive to the light that you receive that shines on you from others. So you can just feel in your heart if there is gratitude maybe to someone who has shone their light on you, someone who gave you something that was important for you. Life. And in your heart, you can say thank you. So we are here giving and receiving. Just human beings. United in heart by our experience. And then you can take a big breath. Maybe make a bow to yourself, to life. And let go. Thank you.